Well, welcome to this workshop on career teacher blessings. I don't know when I've looked forward to a topic as much as I have to this one. I noticed on your workshop descriptions that this is supposed to be just primarily a class of relaxing and rejoicing and praising God for what he's done. You don't need worksheets for that. I'll welcome some of the things that you've seen as blessings in your time of teaching. I'd like to just start by reading a few things. They're all on the same page in my Bible, but in different chapters. But here in 2 Corinthians, a few phrases I want to pick out. Now, thanks be unto God. That's one thing that we want to do today is acknowledge God in allowing us to enjoy these blessings. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Then if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there's something that's been mentioned briefly here already. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. If anything good comes from our teaching, it's because we've already received it from God and we're passing it on. We'll look across the page to chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians, verse 7. It's talking about we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. And then it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And yesterday in the class on career teacher pitfalls, we talked about quite a number of areas where we could fall in the ditch or the potholes or different ways that we find of getting off track. That's the kind of the earthen vessel part of this whole thing. But you know, he could have given us this treasure in, let's say, golden vessels. But then you know what we'd be tempted to do? We'd be tempted to look at the vessel and focus on the vessel. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Sometimes I feel very earthen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So as we share things today, we want God to receive the glory. And what I'm going to share today is not a balanced view of teaching. If you wanted the balanced view, you should have been here yesterday and today both. But there's something that I think of. I don't know how many times I visited with people saying, such and such a school is still looking for a teacher. Do you know any teachers? And this is August. I think sometimes you and I can have an influence on that we're not aware of. Do people look at you and say, you know, he looks or she looks like they're really enjoying teaching. There must be something about that occupation. or do the comments that we make and the look on our faces make them think, God, it's not me. So today, I'd like to give just the positive side, the blessing of being a teacher. I'm sure that if I asked any of you, we'd probably all start at the same place. One of the blessings of being a teacher is students. Surprise, surprise. I think of a seventh grade girl who is a student of mine, and I've had few students that caused me as much grief as this seventh grade girl. If there was a way to push my buttons, she found it. If there was a way to stir the pot in the classroom, she found it. And she had all the other attributes of seventh grade girls that just helped to round out this picture. So as she went on through school, we tried to help the best we could, tried to be patient. But I'll just admit, I did everything I knew, everything that you know, people had asked questions, and it just really didn't seem to help. But then God got a hold of her. And we hear about people being born again. But when she was born again, like ninth grade age, the change was unbelievable. And one of the benefits of being a career teacher is you stick around for a while and see kind of how things turn out. Well, it ended up that about 5 years after that, I had her as a co-teacher. Had someone told me that in seventh grade, I would not have believed it. But it was such a blessing. Now, her and I are talking about how to help seventh grade girls. And it was so special. A few years after that, our family had moved to Uruguay. And I got a call from a young man. And he said, I'm interested in a girl. And I especially want to know how she's doing spiritually. And her dad told me to call you because you probably know better than he does. And so the wheels were turning pretty fast. He wanted to know about my seventh grade girl. And I had the privilege of telling him she is a fine young lady. And today they're married. Recently he was ordained in the church. And it just blesses me to see her be a helpmeet for her husband. To me, that's a priceless blessing of being able to be a teacher and look back and have continued interaction till today. Just heard from him last week. Another story I think of, I could tell stories all morning long, but we want to get to some other things. Let me tell you one more. I've rarely pled with the school board to expel a student. I don't mean suspend for a few days. I mean just expel. There is a time for that when the cancer is just spreading so fast and it's coming from here. But the student I'm going to tell you about is one of those. And the school board didn't move as fast as Mr. Miller wished they'd move, but they eventually moved, and this student was expelled. I want to say 5 years later, I was visiting in that community and met this young man. We got reacquainted a little bit. A few years after that, I was in that community, and he was married. And he pulled me aside. He said, Mr. Miller, I wonder if I could bring my wife over to your house. I said, sure. He said, there's something that you explained to us in Bible class that I was trying to explain to my wife, but I couldn't explain it to her like you did. Could you explain it to her? And I wish I could remember what it was that he wanted me to explain to her. But if someone had told me that Jacob was going to be asking me to explain this Bible principle to his wife, that would have been a pretty tall thing to believe at that time back there. It's special to see God working way beyond what you and I can do. So student relationship, I want to tell you a few more if we have time, but that's one of the things that are precious to me as a teacher. Another thing that I think is a blessing of long-term teachers is just the security that we can bring to students. One of the things that we often hear, and I've heard it here already, is that, well, all us teachers have flat spots, and because of that, it's good for our children to have numerous different teachers to fill in those flat spots. Now, I won't argue a bit about flat spots. We have them, don't we? But if that was super important, then God's plan of parenting is a little bit flawed. Because he kind of put parents in there for the long haul, didn't he? And so, if you're teaching the same students for 3 years in a row, don't become guilty. Now, back to this idea of security. One of my own children, that's the other benefit of being a longer-term teacher, is sometimes I learn things from my children. One of them, it really rocks his boat when he gets a new teacher. And so if you've been my student's teacher for a number of years, thank you for that stability that you provided for him. Another thing that we talk about is security. It kind of goes with stability. When things at home or possibly even in church are kind of rough, you can provide that stability at school. Our school board chairman just mentioned publicly recently that it just makes his job easier to have long-term teachers. Now, if you were here yesterday, just to keep us from being proud, we heard that long-term teachers can be kind of a thorn in the flesh of the school board too. So be the kind where they can say, you know, we appreciate the stability that this long-term teacher can provide for the school. The next point I have let me just give as by way of illustration. In the summertime for income, take down old barns and then we resell the lumber to people who are doing a piece of furniture, maybe a wall in their house or something for decoration. And sometimes we make things out of this barn wood. Picnic tables, chicken coops, or little studios. And I had a couple there, and they were looking at a chicken coop. And this lady's husband made a comment about the coop that kind of proved he didn't know much about chickens. And the lady corrected him vehemently. And then she turned to me and she said, "He doesn't know much about chickens. But I know about chickens. I took an online class about chickens." And the next paragraph said, "And my chickens all died, so I'm looking for a coop so I can raise better chickens." But where I'm going with this is, this weekend, a lot of people can go home and say, "I took a class about teaching." But you and I, we have some experience. So just like once that lady actually raises some chickens, which takes me back to the days before I had children, I had a lot more answers about raising children. But until you teach in a classroom, and Jonathan Erb made a comment in one of his classes, the average teacher teaches 3.3 years in our school, and his next comment went by pretty quickly. I'm not sure if I got it, but he implied that that's not enough to really master. So that's the blessing of being a longer-term teacher. And Joan and I were visiting about this summer, and he came up with a real term for it. So I want to share this term with you. It's called skill-based enthusiasm. Okay?
So you can go home from this and be excited about teaching. But once you know how to teach, that enthusiasm comes because I know how to teach math. I know how to do this. I at least have an idea about what to do when this happens on the playground. Your enthusiasm is skill-based. Well, one of the other benefits that I've had is finding out how often I'm wrong. Let me just explain to you. I am teaching, and I think, you know, if we just had this different curriculum, it would solve our problems. And I've taught long enough to get the school board finally convinced to change the curriculum. I still had a problem. And sometimes that problem is me instead of the books. And the list could go on and on. Maybe the problem that I'm facing is because the wall doesn't have insulation and the noise from the other classes distracting us. Or maybe it's those windows that face the highway that are distracting us and we have a problem. You get the problem fixed and you realize it wasn't the problem. The other thing that I think we learn, and if we aren't learning it, we should be learning it, is sometimes today's problems come from yesterday's solutions. If we'd had that a handout, I'd probably written that on there somewhere. You know, I began to realize that the way I tried to fix this caused this. And the ways I was trying to do it back here, I'm kind of reaping for what I sow back here. It's part of skill-based enthusiasm. And the thing that we realize as teachers is that cause and effect aren't always closely related in time and space. Sometimes what I'm doing now, the effects don't come until you're too late. It was interesting, a lot of you I saw in music class. Someone was saying that Steve Overholt's students are becoming music directors. I don't suppose they direct music like Mr. Miller does. Do you think so? I doubt it. You know, so the effects come years later. So why did it work? Why did it not work? I thought the problem was the parents. I thought the problem was the curriculum. I thought the problem was the classroom. I thought the problem was whatever. And then you realize, oh, maybe not. And if we're humble enough to learn, we can work through some of those things better. Another thing I think of is, if you're a long-term teacher, contentment is something that you should be developing. In fact, I think I'd go so far as to say if you're not developing contentment, you're probably developing frustration. And part of that is just being able to trust the administration, the board, whoever you're working with. Content with often, it means maybe less wages than some of the other people in the community or with the same set of skills that you have are making. I'll just tell you, I feel that that's been a blessing to our family. I sometimes hear people say, you know, God really blessed our business this year or whatever. And I try to not be smart aleck about this, but I want to say, oh, I'm sorry, he blessed me better than you. He blessed me with just enough and a little bit to share with other people. I look around at some of my peers and I see oh, they've got a lot, but they're in debt up to here. I don't have that much. Because no banker would have looked at me and considered giving me a whopping loan. And so, well, that's a fringe benefit of being a teacher. He gave me just enough. I could stand here and tell you stories of how God has come through again and again and again. We had some whopping hospital bills. We lived in a little apartment for many years when we were first married. But God comes through in amazing ways. I got to tell you just a little current story. I was at the post office just this week mailing some things for the church. And I don't know how post offices are where you are, but the line was long. And we were waiting. The postal clerk that was helping me didn't really know what she was doing. And the one helping the person beside me knew what she was doing, but he didn't know what he was doing. The customer didn't. Anyway, turns out he didn't have any cash and his credit card wouldn't work. And so the line keeps getting longer, grumble, grumble, grumble back there. And so I said, well, how much is it? And he told me, and I said, well, here, and I just paid it for him. Oh, and he thanked me. Okay, so I said, I've been there. Okay, and then on the way up here, took my family out to eat, and we were at Subway, whipped out a coupon. Okay, we got a big family, all right, coupon. And the lady went beep, it didn't beep, beep, nothing happened. And she said, oh, this is expired, which that's what usually happens with coupons at our house. But the lady at the table, an old lady over there said, hold on, I got a coupon. And she whips it out. And God provided for us way more than what I helped anybody else that day. It was just beautiful. It happens so often that God does something special for us. If I had lots of extra money, I probably wouldn't notice it as much. Another thing is teaching itself is a good occupation. I was going to say horrified, but I think disgusted would be a better word. Just recently, I heard, I was commenting that I think that there might be more of you brothers teaching than there were in pastors. Oh, well, yeah, of course, interest rates are up. And I don't know, I hope there's not much truth to that, but I'm afraid there is a little bit of truth to that. You know, so they're not making as much money other ways, or dad's not making as much money, so, oh, well, we'll go teach school. I hope that's not it. I hope that all of us are teaching for the right reason, and that those who are watching us will teach for the right reason. But teaching is a good occupation to be in. And here's one reason that I say that. I enjoy eating 12 months out of the year, but I only get paid during school time, which means I'm going to have to find work to do those other months out of the year. And that work tends to be pretty ordinary. It puts me in contact with all kinds of people, which I enjoy. I like working with adults too. And so I get to sell barnwood. But I kind of get this nasty feeling sometimes. I say, oh, what are you building? I'm building a bar for beside my pool. And I'm thinking, you just paid this much for that? And I don't know. Okay, so then we also build a little mini barn type things. You know, what good Anabaptist doesn't build mini barns sometimes? and I get, you see what people put in those.
junk. Because Americans have too much stuff. You know where I'm going with this? I kind of feel sorry for someone who's stuck in an occupation where, or you're a builder and you have to build something that doesn't fit at all with our two kingdom simple life. But you got to make a dollar. You know what? School teachers don't have to face that. And that's a blessing. That, look at it as a blessing. I had a whole bunch of other examples here. I could build a bakery and sell baked goods to fat people, or I could be a farmer and raise food for people and then come to church and hear the ladies going off about GMO and glyphosate and all that stuff. So, we're privileged. And not to mention that, we get variety. I mean, picture your job if school would last 12 months out of the year. There'd never be this little summer break. I was talking to someone just this week, and he says, my business is kicking me, essentially, is what he said. He's tied into it, and he can't look forward to May. There's really no end in sight. It's not that another... One of the things that we want to do is be sure that teaching isn't so much our life or identity that we don't have time in the evening to help a mother, or on a weekend to go to a work project that the church has going on. Just be aware of that. Another blessing of being a teacher who's taught more than 1 or 2 years is simply efficiency. Now, yesterday we talked briefly about the laziness danger in having taught and kind of knowing what's coming up in that lesson. But it's a lot more efficient. I find myself being able to spend that same time finding other things to go with the lesson rather than having to figure out exactly what this lesson is saying and making sure that I understand it because it teaches a little bit different than I learned it and all those things. I'm hoping that you're much more efficient now than you were earlier. I'm hoping too that by now you know how to score a report. You've got a system figured out where if it's not like math where the answer has to be this or this. I'm hoping that those things don't rock your boat so much anymore. You can be much more efficient. Another thing, many times teachers who've taught a number of years end up living in the community where they're teaching. For years I went back and forth to where I grew up, to where I was teaching, but now I live in the community where I'm teaching. The thing that I notice about that is how much easier art projects are. I go home and I get all my things together and I go to school, or I go out of my shop and get things together for an art project and I go to school. It's so much easier than having to ask my host or go buy everything that you need and kind of start over. It's just a blessing to be able to do that. I have another one here, and then I'd like for you to tell stories. It could be certain stories about students or stories about blessings that you see and have experienced. One of the blessings of being able to teach is to teach teachers, is to help inspire other people. I mentioned at the beginning of class that I think one thing that you and I could probably even do better at is encouraging other people to take up this noble occupation, calling, if you will. In my classroom, one of the things that I do is try to teach my students enough about teaching to make them think, I could do that. They get quite a bit of chance to do some public speaking, whether it's the boys having a morning devotions, oral reports, reports on different countries, different assignments that they're doing. They get quite a bit of chance to do that. So just standing in front of a group doesn't intimidate them as much. We're still working on that. As a long-term teacher, it's a privilege for us to start to pass the baton to others. For those of you who weren't here yesterday, I mentioned that the downside is that some teachers don't really know how to quit. I told you about my friend who's a juggler, and he juggled machetes. And he'd get three of them, knife blades flashing in the air. And he said, I had a friend that did this, but he didn't know how to stop. They called him Stub. And teaching without having a good stop and a turnover is sad. So prepare your students. We have an apprentice program in our school. By the time they get to eighth grade, I have my rod and staff handbook for creative teaching here. Chapter 43 and 44 have lists in them. And those lists are 40 things, like one of them is 40 things to look for when you're monitoring a classroom. And it's so interesting to hear my students talk about what they observed when they come back from visiting the other teachers' classrooms. They probably had those teachers before they came to my class, but they never noticed how they taught. And when you have a checklist and you notice, oh, that's how they introduce the lessons. Or, Mr. Miller, you don't do it like she does. And then they notice what's on the walls. And they notice what the students who aren't at the class table are doing. And they notice what the teacher does when a student has a question. They notice what a teacher does when a student doesn't do what they're supposed to be doing. All of a sudden, they're checking things off and they're making notes beside it. And they come back and they think they're teachers. Because now they know something. They understand something about that. It's exciting for me to see them. Then the next thing we do is they make a folder with art projects. And then they design three bulletin boards so that, you know, they feel like they're prepared. They check papers and write the scores on them in order to learn how to do this. So to me, passing the baton is one of the exciting things that I see about being able to teach. Now, before you go try making teachers out of all your students, talk to your school board, find out a reasonable way, what they feel comfortable with, what age level they feel comfortable with. But it's really a privilege that I'd hate for all of us to miss out on. Okay, what stories do you have regarding the blessings of teaching?
Well, it's a very spiritual.
you think about it, how much time at school you spend doing those kinds of things. You're exactly right. That's a blessing that you wouldn't often have in other occupations.
And you pick up more gems in that stuff that you wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm. There's something about sharing it with other people that helps us. Exactly.
Probably the biggest thing for me is just the student relationships. And then, you know, we've had different people from our school church move out. So actually this weekend we get to go stay at one of his place.
No kidding.
Two girls that I would talk a couple years back, and, you know, they've been asking me to come, and other students in other places begging me to come visit them. I enjoy that. It's rewarding to me.
So you have connections in a number of different places now. Thank you for that. That is such a blessing. I tried something 2 years ago. I set out to write letters to all of my former students. And I got the neatest responses in return. Some of them I hardly knew how to catch up with them. And it was very interesting. I had the opportunity to teach on a Sioux Indian reservation. And even some of those students called me after receiving the letter. And it was months later. And I thought, well, maybe, but all of a sudden I got some phone calls from him. It was just special. One of the things that is a benefit of teaching, and maybe a number of you are teaching in your own home community, but I know for a number of us, we've taught at a couple of different places. For me, seeing different cultures has been a real, just super interesting. It's also been an opportunity for growth. Now, understand, notice I said opportunities for growth. Sometimes we get opportunities and we mess up on them. I can think of times when that happened for me. My first teaching job, I was boarding with the school board chairman. And he liked a good joke. And so we teased each other occasionally. And I remember him coming home from a school board meeting one evening. And so I asked, how was the meeting? Oh, good. And he said, there is something we need to talk about, though. He said, they'd like for you to wear a different kind of shoes. Now, I was 23 years old, and my shoes were part of my identity. But I breathed a sigh of relief because all of a sudden I realized he's just joking. I said, oh, okay, I'll go barefoot. And I laughed and I went. And he said, no, I'm serious. Then I became serious. To me, that was a real opportunity to mature, and I'll admit to you, I almost blew it. But it's things like that, teaching with different cultures. You'll understand this. I was teaching in Sacramento, and I think it was the very first morning. I said, okay, let's bow our heads to pray. Well, you can imagine that would be a bad choice. And I got to learn another culture. And now, when I'm sitting in church, and whoever's leading out says, let's bow our heads to pray, and I'm just sitting there, I squirm. I'll admit it. It doesn't feel right to me. Just because I learned something that to me now seems respectful. And I'm just saying that the blessings of living with different cultures. What other blessings of being a long-term teacher can you think of?
Could you expound a little bit more on the last thing? They felt it was disrespectful to bow and pray.
Okay, I'm sorry I didn't clarify that. To sit and pray didn't seem right. We always either stood or knelt to pray.
One of the things I enjoy, you mentioned public speaking, and it's kind of a passion of mine with the boys, especially, to help build their confidence. It's something I have struggled with, still do. And so to give the boys public speaking assignments, to coach them in that, and then to give them something public at the program to do, whether it's introducing the program, introducing a song, sharing something, giving announcements. I just love seeing a young boy and his confidence grow. Partly because in the times in which we live, effeminate men and just a lack of confidence in men is a big deal. It's a thing of our times. So I feel like I'm, doing battle against or battling for what God would have men to step into their roles. And so that's been really rewarding for me to do that, those kinds of things with the boys. From year to year. Another thing is building relationships with the younger students. Sometimes it feels like maybe it's a little self-focused because I know they're going to be in my room. I don't think so. I think it's a wise thing for we teachers who are doing it long-term, especially if we're teaching older grades, to really work at cultivating relationships with the younger students and building rapport with them. And then when they come, there's a good foundation laid relationship-wise.
And for those of you who might teach younger children, maintain that relationship even after they get out of your classroom. One question on having them speak publicly. In a program, you would have him up there by himself. You mentioned announcing or, okay.
And the older boys, the past couple years, I've had the older boys, chosen one of them to actually direct the school in one of our school songs as well, which I would normally do, but it's been a real blessing to see them fear that, but yet want it. Like the satisfaction that comes from getting out of their comfort zone. And also, it brings a different dynamic to the rest of the school. The rest of the school is a little softer hearted, pays attention a little better. So there's a whole different thing going on than when, same old is up there drinking.
Oh, I appreciate that. Have someone, one of the students, direct a song, even on the program. And I'm assuming that experience obviously comes in the classroom mornings and, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What else? Sisters, you may share blessings too. Okay, thank you for your attention today. I'll dismiss you with that.